All right, so we're going to get right back to the WWE podcast in a second, but I just want to talk quickly about a product I recently came across, and it's called Mirrex, M-I-R-R-E-X. So for you guys out there, you may want to direct your female counterpart to this website. It's pretty cool. It's a makeup mirror, but it's much more than that. The company is based in Colorado, and just so you guys know, Mirrex stands for the Innovative Mirror. They're here to improve the lifestyle of individuals, and they want to take a step into the future, and that they have. They have taken the makeup mirror and turned it into a smart makeup mirror. So what's this going to do? It's going to change the way the mirrors are used. There are three levels of LED light for those last-minute face checks, and you can even charge your phone wirelessly. It also has an attachment to take that really cool, well-lighted selfie. So you guys really got to check this out. This is really, I've never seen anything like this. It's Mirrex.store, Mirrex.store. That's Mirrex.store. This is definitely one of the coolest things that I've seen, and it would make a great gift. So check out Mirrex.store today.
Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Those three words get me hyped up every single time. Are you ready? That is fantastic by Triple H. All right, guys, my name is Chris Owen. You can call me CO if you'd like. I'm going to be doing the NXT podcast for WWE Podcast. You can reach out to me on Twitter at the CO Place to Go. I also play on Twitch at the CO Place to Go. I want to tell you a little something about me in the podcast game. I used to run my own podcast. It was called Consummate Opinion. I did it between 5 and 7 years ago. About 5 years ago, I moved from Clearwater, Florida up to New York, where I went to, let me tell you something, I went to some of the best WWE and NXT events of my life, other than WrestleMania's, in New York City, because it was at Madison Square Garden. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. This past May, I moved to Vegas from New York. I had some people who heard my show. They believe in me, and that means a lot to me. So, like, I started getting that itch again. And about a year ago or so, actually probably a little more than a year ago, I found WWE Podcast. I reached out to them in, I want to say, February or March of this year when WrestleMania was going to New York. And it just didn't work in the cards. I wanted to have a show, do a live broadcast. It didn't work. And, you know, from then I was just kind of like, honestly, like I'm done with the podcast game. I'm done with all that. But like in wrestling, you can never say never. So I just want to say I'm so appreciative of this opportunity to work with such a good podcast like WWE Podcast. You can find them on Twitter at @WWE_podcast. They're available on Speaker, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and other platforms. And wherever you're listening, to be honest, it's very much appreciated. I know everyone with the WWE Podcast group loves it, appreciates it. I mean, they were, as of Monday, I want to say, they were up to number 15. In wrestling podcasts, and that's amazing. I mean, that is a huge feat, and that is something that is very, very difficult to beat. So that being said, I just want to get a quick word from a sponsor real quick. It is MyBookie. At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. Game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL. And there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year to make those bets. So do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. So don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And mybookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play and where you should too. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet on them if they weren't the best. So join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. All you have to do is use promo code WWE to activate the offer. Again, that's promo code WWE. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, so back to the NXT review. I'll tell you a little something about who I am. I told you about the podcast past. I've been a wrestling fan for like 25 to 30 years. I was, man, under 10 years old when I started liking wrestling. I was probably about 5 or 6. Undertaker has always been my number one go-to guy. I mean, I think he's the best. It's tough to see him wrestle these days, but I'm going to be honest with you, like, it still doesn't get better than his intro. I've been to 3 WrestleManias, 2 of them in New Orleans, 1 in Orlando, probably around 20 live events. The NXT event that I went to at the Hulu Theater at MSG was amazing. I mean, guys that I saw for the first time, Sanity, Shinsuke Nakamura, DIY, The Revival, those were highlights, and I'm going to be honest with you, like, I took a couple people to their first event, people who worked at the job I worked at in New York, and they loved it. Prior to that, we're talking, that's probably 2017, I kind of fell off as a wrestling fan in 2015. I went to the WrestleMania in New Orleans, WrestleMania 30. Undertaker got his first loss. That killed me. Like, why do you have an iconic character such as the Undertaker take a loss at a pay-per-view, especially at WrestleMania? You know, he wrestles a couple times a year. Like, why are we doing that? Now, I get it. You know, it's to Brock Lesnar. It elevated Brock Lesnar, even though I don't think he needed to be elevated. But it made it kind of turned me off. So in 2016, there's one particular match that kind of got me back into wrestling, and that was Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura. That was amazing. That match alone kind of reeled me in and really put NXT on the radar for me. So that's one of the reasons why I'm excited to cover NXT, because some people, to be honest, might be out of wrestling, might be out of the game. You know, with AEW starting, that's huge. That's another game changer. I mean, I've been to Ring of Honor, I've been to House of Glory, I've been to all these different wrestling shows. And WWE is just kind of, to me, that's on the back burner. But NXT brought me back. First things first, before we get to the NXT actual review itself, I want to touch on Hell in a Cell real quick. I know it's been talked about on this network. Becky versus Sasha, if I could have a match like that every single pay-per-view, every week, obviously, would be pretty difficult to put on a production such as that. But if I could see that match all the time, that alone would make me be a wrestling fan. That was amazing. I know Sasha did get hurt in that match. Don't know how bad it is. They haven't really talked about it. Hope it's not a concussion. She has been relatively injury prone since she's been there. But that to me was a great match. I mean, that elevated Becky Lynch even more than she already is. It's okay that she can be called the man. Kane Velasquez, I don't know, man. He does nothing for me. I get what they're trying to do. Crossover fans, you know, like Lesnar with Rousey. Is it needed? I don't personally think so. I know his name value is huge. I know AEW was looking into him. So did they get him just to prevent AEW from getting him? Maybe. I mean, they showed up, and I've heard he hasn't even signed a contract yet. It's pretty ballsy. I don't know whether it's true, but we shall see. I know he's looking, and the talk is the big payday in Saudi Arabia where he's going to fight Brock Lesnar. Now, I hope it's not for the belt, and if it is, Brock Lesnar has to win. Maybe it'll be a disqualification. I don't know, which, again, I hate disqualifications in no contest. It just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, have a finish. Have a winner, please. But I just feel it's a little too soon for Kane Velasquez. And if he wins, I'm going to be 100% honest with you, that's going to take me off Raw completely. Like, I'm just not going to pay attention to that. I mean, Paul Heyman knows what he's doing as a booker. This may not be the right move. On to the main event. I love The Fiend. I love the character. I love Firefly Funhouse. Every time it's on, like, you know, I'll go on YouTube because I don't watch a lot of Raw and SmackDown. I'll go on YouTube to see if there's a new Firefly Funhouse. That's 100% honest. To not have him lose, huge. But to not have him win, I think that's even worse. And to have the finish of a no contest in the main event and of an event called Hell in a Cell, is that even a real thing? Undertaker throws Mankind off a cage, onto a table. Mankind gets back up, goes through the cage to the mat. Still no contest. I mean, is this new day and age of wrestling that soft to where we're calling no contest? I mean, it was at least it wasn't a no DQ, it wasn't a disqualification. At least that's not what it was. It was called the referee stopped the match. But that's 2 years in a row of no contest in the main event of Hell in a Cell. I'll be honest, like, to me, Seth Rollins, love his theme song, Burn It Down, fantastic. But what are we doing here? Like, what is it that we're accomplishing at this point? To me, he is the new Roman Reigns. He's being force-fed. He's being put out there multiple times a night. Is it the relationship with Becky Lynch? What is it? I know they're engaged, but is it? Like, what is it? Like, why? He is the new Roman Reigns to me. Not Roman Reigns now. Roman Reigns a year ago. And for the 4 years prior to that. I want to give a shout out. Obviously, rest in peace, Eddie Guerrero. Birthday today. October 9th. Great talent. That entire family. One of the great wrestling families that we had in the business. I mean, you got the Harts, the Guerreros, the Von Erichs. I kind of feel bad if I'm forgetting some, but you know, those are the ones that truly stand out to me. I mean, the Ortons, you know, but obviously not to the giant effect that the Von Erichs and the Harts are. His transformation to from WCW to WWE was huge. Got pushed as a main event player. He was just taken too young, and you know, it's something that happens a lot with wrestlers. But today he would have been 52, and happy birthday to Eddie Guerrero. I know on NXT tonight they discussed him a couple times. We'll get to that, but we'll go from there. So on last week's, I just want to give you some highlights from last week's NXT episode. Matt Riddle versus Adam Cole. I'll be 100% honest with you, I watched that match 3 times. 2 last week, once yesterday, just to kind of get into the flow of NXT for tonight. It was a fantastic match. A lot of near finishers. Or finishes, I should say. A lot of finishing moves. That's the one thing about NXT, which makes it very indie, is a lot of near finishes, a lot of finishing moves being done. I don't want to say a lot of spots, but of course there's a lot of spots. It's, you know, a lot of these guys, it's not the WWE of old where you get punched in the face once and you're out, or a suplex is your finisher. It's a little bit different now. WWE has taken on some of those qualities too, but NXT has a lot of that in it. It's fun to see. I mean, it's dangerous. I don't know how these guys consistently can put their bodies through some of this punishment that they do on a week-to-week, day-to-day basis, to be honest with you. Because, you know, this show, it might be on a Wednesday. They have a live event tonight. Then they probably got another one on Saturday. Like, these guys are putting their bodies through hell. There was a returning superstar that confronted Adam Cole after the match. We all know that's Finn Balor. And Adam Cole got another returning superstar, confronted him later on in the night. But to have 2 different guys come in and basically assert themselves and basically say, I want my belt. Now, Tommaso Ciampa never lost that belt. So in reality, I think he should be the first one that gets a shot. But how do you push Finn Balor to the back burner? I don't think you can. I don't think Finn Balor can be a guy who's not elevated to the beginning. Does he bring in people? You know what I would love to see? I would love to see Gallows and Anderson show up, but they're in a program with AJ Styles. Does AJ Styles go with him? I don't think you can put AJ Styles low. I don't think you can have him go down. But I think Gallows and Anderson could show up, and they could, and Finn Balor would just be part of the OC as a group. They could have WWE, like they could have Raw, SmackDown ties, and they could have NXT ties. The Velveteen Dream showed up. I love Velveteen Dream. Charisma. Just, I think he is the next guy to make an imprint in WWE, as long as he's used properly. I'm going to throw that out there. As long as he's used properly, because many of these call-ups don't. We got a Tegan Knox video package. Saw her warming up tonight as well. Great talent. Tough break with these knee injuries the past 2 or 3 years. Mae Young Classic this year. First match, I think it was, that she had. I don't even think she got out of the first match. That's tough. And I know she was probably meant to get towards the final, or at least to the semis, minimally, because she's a great talent. I think she's going to spark the women's division. I'm not super high on Shayna Baszler. I get it. Friend of Ronda Rousey. four horsewomen, the UFC four horsewomen, let me put it that way. I don't know. Like, I get it, tough guy, but where are we going with her? Like, she gets beat next 2 weeks of NXT, wins the belt back. Like, there's no continuity. I mean, she's the only true continuity, but there's no... If you take the belt off somebody, give someone a run. I mean, unless you're Jinder Mahal, you're not killing ratings. And like I said, the two superstars that return, Finn Balor and Tommaso Ciampa. My only concern with Tommaso Ciampa is he back too soon? Now, if he's medically cleared, I know he's not back too soon. But it's like different guys with neck injuries. You got a guy like Kurt Angle who came back. Kurt Angle came back multiple times. Like, multiple times. And each time was a little less of himself. Now, that's to be expected. I mean, to be honest with you, like, you're not going to be able to sit there and have, you know, the same type of career, the same type of lifespan with, or after a neck injury, I should say. Edge. Dude, Edge has been retired for what? 10 years, maybe? Maybe not that long. He's talking about coming back. Like, I love it. I love the idea. But are we in a position to where he should do that? He's got a family. He's got, what, two kids with Beth Phoenix? Maybe more. I don't know. It's crazy to me. Then you got a guy like Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was talking about coming back. He wants one more match. Was it 16 years later or something? Those Saudi paychecks look good, and it'd be a good spot. If you put him with someone who can protect him, it's great business. What if the person can't protect him, though? What happens? What happens then? So that's all I wanted to... I mean, that's my concern with Tommaso Ciampa. So I just really hope the best for Tommaso Ciampa. I mean, you know, I just watched the... I also had on the new, like, WWE Chronicle for him called Blackheart. Great, great view. Only, like, 30 minutes, so it's pretty enjoyable, pretty easy. It's fantastic. It is definitely something that you should watch. It makes you see him as a person. I kind of hope he does come back as a heel. Maybe not as strong of a heel as he was before, but that is the character he fits. Like, he had a little joke tonight in a backstage segment where Kathy Kelly was... who was Angel Garza, was back there, and he's like, why don't you interview me? She's like, I'm interviewing Tommaso Ciampa. He said something in Spanish, which I do not understand Spanish. I understand enough, but not what he was saying. And he was basically saying, hey, I'm Angel Garza, blah, blah, blah. Tommaso Ciampa knocked him out. And when Kathy Kelly said, what did he say? He goes, I don't know. Walked away, huge pop. That's the character he needs to be. Kind of cocky, bad attitude, wants to fight you, but at the end of the day, is just a fantastic wrestler and someone who is going to be elevated to the future. All right, let's get to our NXT review for tonight, for October 9th, okay? Like, I know I wasted a lot of time. I know I talked about a lot of different stuff, but this is the first time you guys are hearing from me. This is the first time that you guys get to know who I am, why I'm a fan, some of my opinions and what I think. So what I want to do is get into tonight's, and this is kind of where we're going to go from the future for here. I'm going to kind of give a brief overview of the matches. I'm going to give some opinions on the matches. I'm going to give you a rating for the matches out of 5. Like, it's not Dave Meltzer's 4-star, 5-star match. It's just like a 1 out of 5 to 5 out of 5, like how I felt about it. I'm then going to tell you what, kind of like a brief overview. What did you miss by not seeing it? What should you see? What should you look for if you're going to watch the show? Like, you know, everybody doesn't watch all these shows. I go on YouTube, on Raw and SmackDown, and watch the top 10. So what I'm going to give you is the stuff to look for from these shows and these matches. And then I'm going to say, where are we going from here? And then we'll go from there. So let's start with the review. The opening match, 2 weeks in a row. Last week's opening match, Matt Riddle and Adam Cole. Great match, great way to start. This week was the, I don't know if I'm saying this right, the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. Well, when wasn't it WWE Cruiserweight Championship 2 weeks ago? So it's literally, name has changed. The belt still looks the same. It was Drew Gulak who's the champion versus Lio Rush. Now, Lio Rush disappeared after throwing like a hissy fit when he was with Bobby Lashley. He said he was going to quit, whatever, disappeared for a while. And it's kind of a common theme. Sasha Banks did that too, but he just shows up after being gone for what, about 5 months or so, and is number one contender. I like Lio Rush as a performer, so I don't want to say anything bad. But what I will say is I feel like everyone who's been in that division working hard has kind of been overlooked. Now, I know majority of people there have already had their shot. One guy I really like is Mikey Bennett. Mike Kanellis, I'm sorry. But Mikey Bennett, I think he's a great talent, and he should be pushed through the roof. But I think that you have a guy like Lio Rush, you throw him in this match. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I don't know a lot about Drew Gulak, because 205 Live was never a show that I actually paid attention to. Why the Cruiserweight belt is in NXT, I guess there's no other fit for it. Does it fit in NXT? I guess. You got guys who are a little more high-flying. You got guys who, a lot of them are smaller. A lot of indie guys are smaller when they come in. You know, like, obviously the big guys aren't going to be going for a Cruiserweight belt, but they need to rebrand this belt. They need to make it more like their other ones. You could leave the purple, I guess, but you need to change the plates, because it still says WWE. I'd much rather say NXT in some sense. I know the WWE UK Championship is defended in NXT randomly, but that is a WWE UK belt. It's not NXT UK. So this match, Drew Gulak to me is very boring. He has a boring look. He, to me, he reminds me of like a poor man's Elias, like, you know, with the beard and everything. But he is a fantastic submission wrestler, and he can counter almost any move. This match had a lot of back and forth. The beginning was all Lio Rush, a lot of high flying moves. It was, you know, jumping in and out of the ring. And then it went to Drew Gulak's submission holds, which grounded Lio Rush. And it was very tactical match. His move, it's called the Cyclone Crash, picks him up in a fireman's carry, turns him around in a torture rack, and then does a reverse net breaker. How do you get up from that? There's no normal person who gets up from that. Lio Rush did. It was a great move. Like, I if that move was done to me, that should be the finish of the match. What I will say about the finish of the match, though, Lio Rush had a great sequence of events. Earlier in the match, he tried a stunner where he kind of bounced off the bottom rope, like right on his mid-thigh and butt, bounced backwards to catch Gulak, who then turned it into some form of sleeper hold. Not sure exactly what it was called, but Lio Rush did it again, and he actually caught him with it this time. Fantastic. Lio Rush goes up to the top rope, hits a huge frog splash. It's called the Final Hour. Very, very Rob Van Dam-ish. With the, once you hit the frog splash, you kind of bounce off and do like a tumble, holding the ribs, really selling the pain. Lio Rush gets the win, new champion. After the match, Commissioner Regal comes in, or General Manager Regal, I'm not really sure. He comes in and goes to put the belt on him. Gulak comes in. Now, I'm thinking Lio Rush is about to get laid out. Gulak comes in, takes the belt off of him, holds it up, looks at it, puts it on Lio Rush's shoulder, gives him a nice little handshake. To me, great sportsmanship at the end. I kind of hope, you know, I kind of hope there'll be a rematch that will send Drew Gulak out, and maybe we'll get a brand new challenger. I think a guy like, let's see, who do we have? Cedric Alexander, a guy like that. You know, if his home is going to be SmackDown, then, or Raw, it's going to be SmackDown or Raw, but a guy like that is someone who I think would be very, very good in NXT with the Cruiserweight belt. I mean, Kushida, who we're going to talk about later, he would be fantastic for that. I'm pretty sure he's right around 200 pounds, so he would be pretty good. Now, that match rating, I would give a 3 out of 5. It had some good spots. It had some good sequences of moves together. Again, Drew Gulak, if it was anybody, like if it was Lio Rush for Cedric Alexander, I'm sure this would be a 4 out of 5 match. But for me, 3 out of 5. Not anything spectacular. Like I said, great sequences, high-flying moves. Lio Rush is very exciting to watch. Next matchup was Rhea Ripley versus Aaliyah. Now, if you watch this on Hulu, the matches are totally out of order. It's totally different. If you watch this like live on USA and whatever, like I'm giving you the matches in the order in which I personally saw them. Rhea Ripley versus Aaliyah. I'm going to be honest, Rhea Ripley, first UK Women's Champion, she's impressive. I haven't seen very many matches of hers, but she is impressive. 5'8", built, looks really strong, probably 5'8", 140. In my opinion, she is the most impressive person to face Shayna Baszler on this roster, on this current NXT women's roster. To me, she's the most impressive. Like, she can hold her own more than anybody else. Like, Candice LeRae, yeah, that's great. Bianca Belair, that's okay. But past Ember Moon or Asuka, I think Rhea Ripley's the next one up. This was your classic squash match. Aaliyah, so years ago, it was on NXT, they had a series that they built up and they showed different NXT superstars. Like, Baron Corbin was one of the ones who was put on there heavily. But Aaliyah was too, and she has never been impressive to me. She's gotten great shape, much better shape than when she was there. To me, she's a character who, now Vanessa Bourne, those two together look fantastic, but it's just nothing exciting. Aaliyah is a very forgettable character to me. She is not someone that, you know, is going to be in the picture, should be in the picture. She's, I don't want to say an enhancement talent, but she's been in the game now in NXT for, man, almost 3 to 4 years. I can't see her ever getting called up, so this is her pinnacle. But it was a squash match. Ripley destroyed her. She made her tap in less than 3 minutes. Right after the match, Rhea Ripley called out Baszler, which was great. I saw it coming, but didn't see it coming because she's still pretty fresh. To be quite honest, this match would have been a 1 out of 5 because it was quick. It set Ripley up. And the reason I'm going to give it 2 out of 5 is just because it sets up potential for a future feud with Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler. Next match on here was Breezango versus the Forgotten Sons. Now, Breezango was supposed to fight Ever-Rise, but they came out dragging each other, must have got beat up in the back. Forgotten Sons replaced them. The Forgotten Sons had the entire offense. Like, I know Breezango's probably there to help out new tag teams and help out the future of the tag division in NXT, but they had no offense in this match. It was almost embarrassing. They got the hot tag, obviously had some offense, but didn't get enough momentum to get the win, and they picked up the loss. I guess this could set up a feud between the two because originally they weren't supposed to face each other. I could see it building up to something, maybe having a match a month down the road if they get the proper build. 2 out of 5, just because it's going to set up a feud, but there was nothing memorable about the match. If it was off the card, then it would be fine. I did check out the Hulu version as well. It was not even put on the Hulu version, so clearly not important. This next match was Boa versus Cameron Grimes. Now, a squash match again. Grimes squashed him very, very quickly, probably within 2 to 3 minutes again. And under 3 minutes. I'll just put it under 3 minutes. Hit him with the double knees. Now, the thing that made this memorable was Killian Dane showing up. Now, one of my all-time favorite groups is Sanity. They've been broken up, put apart. Some people don't work there anymore. It is just, they're all over the place. But Killian Dane showed up, hit two versions of the Vader Bomb, which is essentially what it was. Ended up taking him outside, slamming him on the announce table. Of course, he gets booed out of the building. Major heel. Killian Dane is a strong dude. He is a guy that I think needs a push. It's just, you look at some of the other guys in NXT, and it's like, who do you push? How do you push them? What are we going to do to elevate some of these guys? Killian Dane is one of those guys that needs it. Little things like this gets him over. Very Lars Sullivan-ish of me, who I absolutely can't stand. But it is Killian Dane, so I am a little bit biased. Match rating, there was no real match. Total squash match, 1 out of 5. Killian Dane coming out, me gets a 3 out of 5. The next match was Roderick Strong versus Isaiah Scott, who is also known as Swerve. So I'm either going to say Scott or Swerve in speaking about him. So this match, classic Undisputed Era match, has a little bit of a run-in. Not a run-in, but just a distraction towards the end. Isaiah Scott, he's very, very impressive. He's a great leg striker, a lot of kicks, in the right spots too. It looks real. It looks intense, and it looks like he is mad. He also is a great counter wrestler. I mean, Roderick Strong was setting him up for move after move, and he was countering everything. And it was everything from a back elbow to a kick to a rollout. There was one where he basically was out of the ring, got back in the ring due to a counter. Fantastic. He reminds me a lot of Kofi Kingston. I feel like he could potentially be taller than Kofi Kingston and a little bit thicker. So he may not have as like the daredevil type aspect that Kofi Kingston has, but from what I saw tonight, he is a younger Kofi Kingston who might be bigger. And his offense did include some high-flying moves, nothing crazy. A lot of it were Roger Strong was sitting up in a just like in a normal like sitting up position on the mat. He did an elbow drop to the back of his like kind of like right in the shoulder blades area. Did another move where Roger Strong was hung up in the ropes hanging outside of the ring. He did a almost like a knee stomp on him outside. Fantastic moves. Nothing that you know, too crazy. Not that Kofi Kingston style. So when the Undisputed Era showed up, they were first cheering on Roger Strong, like, yeah, like he got in probably five total offensive moves all night, couple backbreakers. The rest was Isaiah Scott. Swerve was the man tonight. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. He, out of everybody on the card, I would say the most impressive wrestler of the night was Swerve Scott, 100%. Strong ends up getting the win due to the distraction at ringside. Scott ended up turning around, looking at him. I don't know, classic Undisputed Era match in a way. It's kind of, I'm not super high on Roger Strong. I like him as a singles wrestler. I like that he's like, you know, just a backbreak champion. But he hit three moves in a row that should finish Scott. Then he used a stronghold submission for the tap. It was over. Match rating 3 out of 5, only for Isaiah Swerve Scott. Other than that, the match was a 2. Roderick Strong did not look impressive, and of course the win, you know, being a distraction, doesn't do it for me. Next match was Dakota Kai versus Bianca Belair. Now, this was a forgettable match for me. I like seeing Dakota Kai back healthy. Again, another person with a knee injury similar to Tegan Knox. It was forgettable, but it is going to set up a feud, and I'll tell you where that's going in a minute. It did have some good back and forth. The power of Bianca Belair, though, beat the striking of Dakota Kai. Like, Dakota Kai got some really good moves in, but Bianca Belair is just bigger, stronger. It was in that match, that's what made the match, just the power of Bianca Belair. Post-match, after Belair got the win, she cut a promo on Rhea Ripley. Ripley, you know, asserted herself earlier, saying, Shayna Baszler, you're next, type thing. And Bianca Belair said, whoa, first of all, you need to go through me. So this is the feud I was talking about. I'm assuming in the next 2 weeks on the show, you're going to see some more promos between the two, and maybe some good work between the two. I'm kind of hoping for some good action. The best part of this match, which is the reason it's going to get a 2 out of 5 rating, is Mauro Ranallo had a... he was talking to Beth Phoenix, and Bianca Belair does a move where it's almost like a fireman's carry, and she squats. You know, she does a couple squats. And his phrase was, drop it like it's squat. He said it twice, because I don't think Beth Phoenix heard what he said the first time. But it was great. I loved it. That's the only reason it's 2 out of 5. Otherwise, match was not very exciting. Now we're going to get on to the main event. The main event is Walter versus Kushida. Now, neither one of these wrestlers have lost. Walter, huge Austrian dude, ring general, is on his pants. And to be quite honest, when you see him wrestle in the ring, there's not a lot he does that could be misconstrued as faulty. He's very persistent. He's doing A because it's going to affect B. He doesn't make mistakes. It's pretty good. His entrance and his look, very impressive. His entrance, I mean, he just walks out wearing all black, standing in front of an all-white screen. Fantastic. His group Imperium, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, unlike the Undisputed Era, really, unless needed, they don't come out and use distractions. Not for Walter, at least. Maybe for like somebody like Alexander Wolf, but not for Walter. He's 6'4", almost 300. Kushida's 5'9", maybe like 190, 200. So, two completely different people. Two completely different styles. Walter's super hard-hitting. Kushida moves around a lot more, more of a submission wrestler. He was doing an armbar, not an armbar, but like a reverse armbar up on the top rope, which actually he did a suplex on Walter off the top, back into the submission. That was the best move of the match from Kushida's standpoint. The end was Walter obviously winning. He hit Kushida with a right-handed lariat, which gave Kushida his first loss. Tough to decide who should lose in this match. You can't really make Walter lose. He's a UK champion. It would be a... He would be hurt more by the loss than Kushida will. These groups have been going back and forth. Kushida with Breezango kind of came out to help, and with Imperium for about the last month, so this was a good match to... I don't know if it's going to finalize the feud, but it was a good match to kind of end the feud. This one gives me, I would say this one, 3 out of 5. The match rating was pretty good. I just want to talk about our sponsor again one more time. Listen, guys, don't forget where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. And mybookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play and where you should too. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. So join now. And MyBookie will double your deposit. All you have to do is use promo code WWE to activate the offer. Again, that promo code is WWE. So visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. So I'm going to talk about what stood out. We're getting towards the end of the show, so I just want to kind of give you what stood out, what you should watch for if you do want to watch this episode. Match-wise, the Cruiserweight match, Gulak and Lio Rush, absolute great starter. It was, you know, you do crown a new champion. It was something that you should look into seeing. The other match that you should definitely watch is Walter versus Kushida. Obviously, that is a fantastic match in terms of two different styles. I mean, Walter gets the win. Obviously, you assume the bigger guy is going to get the win, not, you know, obviously opposite the Rey Mysterio type heavyweight championship wins, but It was a good match. Two different styles. Two great guys. One guy suffers his first loss. Other guy's still undefeated. Great stuff. And then if you have a chance, I mean, the match itself, I don't think was spectacular. Roderick Strong versus Swerve Scott. Swerve Scott's performance, if you can just watch him, like, take that match for what it is, focusing on one person, you're going to see yourself a fantastic match. The promos tonight were fantastic. The Undisputed Era get interrupted by Velveteen Dream and Ciampa. Basically at the same time. First it's Velveteen Dream. He said, I want a shot at the North American Championship. I want my rematch. He came out, stood on a stage opposite side of the entrance, and he called out and basically was like, Roderick Strong, this is what you do in your spare time. I had him laying on the couch, kind of like Shawn Michaels-esque, when Shawn Michaels did Playgirl years ago, which some of you, if you didn't know that, yes, he did. And he did Playgirl, and it showed him nude with the belt covering his crotch. Undisputed Era, of course. I mean, I feel like they were kind of like laughing, like, nah, this isn't true. And then Velveteen Dream goes with, well, Roderick Strong, listen, you really don't measure up. They took the thing off, and there's a really small, like, sensor video on there. It was, or a sensor sign. It was funny. It's going to gain heat, and that Velveteen Dream's mind games, the way he likes playing them. And then when Ciampa came out after, brought out a crutch, went to the side of the ring, grabbed the chair, came in, Undisputed Era leaves, and all Ciampa did when he came to the ring, literally all he did, was he sat down in the chair, grabbed a mic, and goes, he said, Goldie, daddy's home. Clearly speaking about the NXT Championship, looking forward to it, whenever that is, hope it's soon. We had a Finn Balor highlight package, great to see him back. Again, what do they do? Do they have Ciampa versus Balor as a number one contender match? If so, Ciampa probably should get the first match, but you can't have Balor lose. Like, not in your first match back, at least. So I don't know what they're going to do with that. Maybe a triple threat match makes everybody stay strong when one person picks up the loss. Next promo I saw was Damian Priest. He looks strong. If you don't know who Damian Priest is, he used to be known as Punishment Martinez in Ring of Honor. And I think he wrestled in New Japan as Punisher Martinez, if I'm not mistaken. But he looks strong, big, probably 6'5", 6'6". And he has been attacking Pete Dunne. So Pete Dunne, they had a promo for him, kind of showed the same, showed like what he's willing to do to assert himself when he originally came out, beat up some of his former UK friends. And he had the longest UK championship reign. I think it was 690 or 619 days. It was insane, and it's a ridiculous amount, almost 2 years. So both of those should have a really good match. That match is actually coming up. I'm going to tell you when right now. Next week, you have Pete Dunne and Damian Priest. So this is where we're going to go from tonight's show. This is where we go. So Pete Dunne versus Damian Priest next week. Also, Dominic Dijakovic versus Keith Lee. Keith Lee, I have only seen wrestle once. It was indie. I have not seen him in NXT. He does a lot of house shows. I've missed some of the shows he's been on, if it's been on TV. I'm excited to see him. That man is huge, but what he does for being that big, to me, it's very like Vader-esque. Like, it's just a agile, Bam Bam Bigelow type big man. 2 weeks from today, you got Roderick Strong versus Velveteen Dream for that North American Championship, something I'm very excited about. And anytime Velveteen Dream wrestles, to me, it is going to be a showstopper. And then we got War Games in about 6 weeks or so, six and a half weeks. Now, I don't know any matches that are set up for War Games right now. You would assume all the other championships are going to be on the show. But if you're looking for a true War Games, like, there's three things that I would like to see. One, British Strong Style versus Imperium. There's no setup for the match, so it's probably 99% sure it's not going to happen. That, to me, would be a good like Survivor Series style match. But British Strong Style versus Imperium would be fantastic. If you're going to keep Kushida in this program with Walter, which you may not do because he lost, but if you do, the storyline to me makes the most sense out of any other option, because you have Breezango helping them, so you'd have Imperium versus Kushida, Breezango, and who else? They'd have to have a fourth. I think that would be a storyline good match, but not the best possible War Games match. And then you're going to have the Undisputed Era versus Imperium at War Games. That, to me, would be number one. Now, obviously, I just said that. I don't know what's happening. It's probably not going to happen. I would think Kushida and Breezango would probably make more sense. But it'd be weird. It's heel versus heel, because Imperiums are heels, and the Undisputed Era are heels. To me, the type of heel that the Undisputed Era is, they're very NWO-ish. Like, they're heels, they're bad guys. They like, you know, they have all the belts. They're taking over the show. Not in the same sense as the NWO did, but they're together. Like, they are a unit. They've been in both War Games prior. I think that they need to be in this one, and I think them versus Imperium would make sense. What I think we're going to get, though, is a mix of Ciampa, Velveteen Dream, maybe Finn Balor, and name that next superstar who will end up facing the Undisputed Era in that match. That's what I think. I think it's going to be Kushida versus Imperium with Breezango and somebody else, but we shall see. All right, guys, I appreciate you listening. I hope you can reach out to me on Twitter. It's at @theCOPlace2Go with any questions or comments. I would love each week for there to be some type of questions, some type of comments, whatever they are, good, bad, or anything. I would love to cover those on next week's show. In every week, I would like to touch on what you had to say about this show, about NXT, about WWE, about anything. I'm down to talk about whatever. Again, reach out to Twitter @theCOPlace2Go with any questions or comments, and I hope to hear from you guys soon.